sayesinde mi? Hayır. Prophecy yesterday, was it a good to go?
Yeah. Prophecy yesterday suggesting that they wouldn't be spending any new money on the budget effectively, without any new spending for health and education would have to come out of existing programs. What's your reaction to that?
It demonstrates quite clearly that the nature of the tax cuts they made for people at the top end of society were far bigger than they can afford. They said this wouldn't be at the expense of education and health. They clearly now will be.
So you don't believe it's anything to do with the earthquake?
Oh, the earthquake's a complicating factor, but everybody's seen the reports that predate the earthquake, the reports that the economy stalled at the end of last year. The last half of 2010 was a disaster for the New Zealand economy, and that's got nothing to do at that point with the earthquake that Mr. Key interestingly said that he inherited.
Do you still believe there is room to spend new money in the budget, though, when they did have a cap at the start of the year of $800 million? Do you believe there's still room to carry on with that new spend?
If they don't have any additional spending in health and education, that is tantamount to a cut, because the costs in those two areas have gone up. We were assured there'd be no cuts in health and education. Very clearly there will be.
But what about if it's just reprioritised money from other budgets across to health and education to keep the early level spend up? Do you see that as good enough?
Well, we don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see from the budget. But clearly, to pull $800 million out of the budget will be at the expense of a number of areas that will affect middle and low income New Zealanders.
There's no room really, though, to play, is there, at the moment? I mean,
well, that's what the government was saying before the earthquake. They're saying that you couldn't borrow for anything. Clearly you can borrow to meet a cost that will need to be spread over a period of years, and that's the situation with an earthquake. Labor has said that right from the beginning. What we wouldn't do now is impose additional levies on middle and low income people. We've already got an economy in recession. We'll have a, technically or otherwise, if we put more pressure on those people, then that situation will get worse. We'll get further into a stalled economy situation.
So what's Labor's idea or plan or position on how it would pay for the rebuilding? Would you solely borrow the money?
No, the one option that Mr. Key didn't look at when he was talking about it this morning on television and yesterday was actually growing the economy. One reason that we're in this problem is because the New Zealand economy isn't growing. Other economies around the world, even those damaged by the global financial crisis, like the United States, are growing. This government has failed to get growth into the economy. There's been no plan. We've gone backwards, not forwards.
So, sorry, how would Labor pay for it then?
Oh, you're talking about growth. You're talking about the sort of things that might have grown the economy and stimulated the economy, and that's the sort of thing that the National Party hasn't done in the two budgets in the 2.5 years that they've had.
So you would pay for the Christchurch rebuild by growing the economy?
Oh, no, you very clearly, for infrastructure purposes, you borrow for that, and that's paid off over a number of decades. The work itself will take more than a decade. But if you're talking about other areas of the economy, it's not a choice between slashing and burning and borrowing. It's also about getting the economy going again, having a plan to do so, and National has it.
Would you put, you talked about not having a levy on middle and low income earners, but does Labor support a levy on the higher income earners?
We're not talking about any levy at all at the moment, but if the government felt obliged to do that, then clearly it would take it from those that got the windfall profits at the very top of the income bracket. We haven't taken a position on that at this point. What we've said is that for the infrastructure of rebuilding Christchurch, it's appropriate to borrow to do that, and the government's agreed.
Have you agreed to look at any more of your spending promises? I mean, there's a number of things out there that are quite expensive. Are you going to now have a real look at that and put some of them off?
There are a whole lot of things that you do. Politics is about priorities, so you're clearly reprioritising some of the things that you might otherwise want to do. If the infrastructure of Christchurch needs to be rebuilt, that comes before putting a new missile system on frigates. It comes before a holiday highway north of Auckland. And there are other things that we'd like to do very, very strongly, but they may take a little longer to put in place.
Like
I mean, you'll see that there'll be a variety of things that Labor talks about as being desirable. It's desirable, as the Children's Commissioner said this morning, not to have under 2-year-olds in the care of people who are largely unqualified.
What about your tax promise that you made at the start of the year, the $1.3 billion? Would you put that on hold for a couple of years?
No. I would have thought that if the Reserve Bank felt that it was necessary to drop the OCR because the economy is too depressed, it's going backwards, then you'd want to make sure that there's a little more money in the economy to bring it. I think so, and I've said the reasons why it's affordable. The people that don't pay income tax at the moment because they choose not to, who are very wealthy, we've seen examples of that in court recently. The people at the very top can afford to give some of their windfall back in order to help out for people in the middle and the lower income areas.
Would you accept that this would have to, though, be one of the more frugal election years that we've seen?
This is not an election year that will be about huge promises, no.
It's a huge promise, though. $1.3 billion, isn't it?
It's not that pays for itself. When we talk about a tax switch, it's not switching the tax from middle and lower income people, the benefits of the tax cuts to high income. It might be the other way around.
So that will be fiscally neutral?
I think you'd be aiming to cover the substantial cost of that through the ways that I've talked about, but it's also about growth. When you get growth in your economy, then obviously you can afford to do the things that you want to do on a social basis, and Labor's committed to doing
that. But the bulk of that 1.3 will be funded by higher income taxes for wealthy New Zealanders and through the crackdown on what you're calling
The majority of it will come from that source, yes.
If you're in the government shoes going into this budget, would you put on hold the corporate tax cut?
No, I think when the business sector is doing particularly poorly, giving a boost to the corporate sector in that way is probably appropriate.
You mentioned John Angus's report there. Are you saying that his suggestions are actually unaffordable in the circumstances?
No. I'm using that as an example of the sort of things that you might have to do as a priority. That is, having children under the age of two, a vital area of learning, a vital time for learning in their lives, and here's the Children's Commissioner saying that there's an inadequacy of trained staff to look after them, and they therefore won't do as well as they should do.
Are you still going to recommit to giving money, to putting money to the New Zealand Super Fund if you took office immediately?
My view on the super fund is that when you're in a position of low economic growth, you slow the payments down into it. When you get into the position of high economic growth, you speed up the payments.
Would you wait till the surplus, though?
You might not necessarily have to wait for the surplus, but obviously, you know, in year one, is the Labor government going to put $2 billion into the super fund? Probably not, but what you'd want to do is balance that out over time. The better years, you'd want to put more money in. That's part of saving, it's part of investment, it's part of New Zealand owning its own future, so it's quite important. But you can vary the amount of payment you make into that fund.
And the ECE funding, you'd put all that back in as well? You're talking about that?
Well, again, that's something that you'd do over time as it's affordable.
No, why not?
I've said that before. Look, you can't do everything at once. Everybody understands that. There are a lot of things that will be pressing priorities. We'll set a list of priorities going into the election. We'll do what's essential first. We'll do what's desirable as we can find the funds to do that.
Do you support the idea of funding working for families a little bit at the top, and then you can earn 166,000 and still get some of the money? Is there any room in your view to look at cutting that back a little bit?
Well, I think the implications of cutting back working for families are that you're hitting middle-income people. John Key might think that two people earning $40,000 each constitutes a wealthy family. I disagree. You're really squeezing the middle. And when you cut it back at the top, you make the level of abatement for marginal rates of tax that much deeper. It's counterproductive in that way. I'm opposed to changing working for families, yes.
So you would still argue that someone earning, for example, $140,000 needs help from the government to support their family?
Somebody earning $140,000 as a single income earner, the answer to that is probably no, but there are very few people, if any, that will be earning that much money unless they've got a tribe of children. That's way out of the ballpark.
What about a household if two parents are on 70 and they've got a, as you say, tribe of kids?
Yeah.
Should they get?
I'm not going into the detail of that because I haven't worked through the detail. I'm simply saying that if you start tackling, I'm quoting John Key. He said that if you've got a family income of $80,000, you know, with both parents working, you've got plenty of money. You don't need working for families. I disagree with that.
But should a household on six figures, the household income on six figures, be getting help from the state, direct help from the state?
Well, it would depend on circumstances, number of children, etc. But I don't think cutting back that area would make any meaningful saving for the government at all. So why are they talking about it?
You don't accept that Labor made that scheme too generous by putting in those exceptions?
No. I mean, just look at Labor. They had 9 years in government at around surplus budget each year.
But with the expectation that things might take a turn for the worse?
Well, in an expectation that things might take a turn for the worse, instead of massive tax cuts to spend the surplus, as John Key and Bill English suggested, we paid off New Zealand's national debt. That was a very good thing to do. As Bill English admitted, that was saving for the rainy day which has come.
But isn't the point that when the books do take a turn for the worse, that some spending cuts do have to be made?
That's right. And the first place, the last thing that you would do when things take a turn for the worse is give massive tax cuts to the most wealthy people in your community, isn't it?
As part of its broader social policy, Labor's talked about increasing paid parental leave and increasing working families for under twos, looking at cutting back those policies.
Well, I think it's a matter of time. If your economy is struggling because you haven't had growth and you're trying to meet the cost of the Christchurch earthquake, some of those policies will take longer than you might have desired otherwise. So the timing of those things will depend on the money available. That's a matter of common sense. We're not about borrowing heavily to pay for things that we'd like to do, but we can't yet afford to do.
I think, I could be wrong, but I think David Cunliffe had said Labor would borrow less than national. But anyway, are you saying that you wouldn't borrow much more anyway?
Well, what the government is doing is changing its plans day by day as circumstances change. Well, I'm not criticising that. Yes, if you have an earthquake, you have to borrow a little more. At one stage, John Key was saying it was impossible to sustain the borrowing that we're doing. Now he's saying he's going to borrow, I think, as you put it, another 5 to 10 billion more.
But
so clearly it wasn't impossible.
No, and for Labor's extra promises, and I think you've indicated this, but you're not looking at borrowing any more for them. You're going to fund those. You're going to borrow for the earthquake, but for your other tax promises, etc.
This is not a time when we're going to go out with wide-ranging and expensive policies that will require borrowing, no.
The Children's Commissioner also suggested that children are even better off if they're at home being taken care of by their parents and the young kids. Are you going to look at beefing up family support options in the light of
He said that for children under the age of one, the best possible care is to have extended parental leave and for parents to be looking after their children to that point. I think he's probably right, and as it becomes affordable to do that, that would be a desirable policy to implement, and Labor's indicated that.
Just on Libya, do you support the airstrikes?
I support the strikes, the no-fly zone and the strikes on the basis of the United Nations Security Council resolution for the humanitarian protection of the people, particularly the innocent people, the civilians who would otherwise be killed.
There are a number of countries that put sanctions on. Do you think it's appropriate to have a $30 million education deal with Libya?
As I understand the United Nations Security Council resolution, it talks about targeted sanctions, the financial assets and the travel freedom of individuals. I've always supported backing up United Nations sanction resolutions, but not acting unilaterally. It would not achieve anything much for New Zealand to unilaterally put wider economic sanctions in place.
We should, though, presumably have a fairly good look at who wins those 300 scholarships, because they're government-sponsored scholarships from Libya, presumably.
Well, those that have connections with people that are targeted would clearly come under the sanctions that are targeted to those particular individuals. We do targeted sanctions in Fiji, clearly in light of the United Nations resolutions. You'd do the same for Libya.
Mr. Gough, the Labor Party is involved in the earthquake recovery organisation. Is a new government department the right way to go?
Well, you can't expect Christchurch City Council to do it on its own. Therefore, you've got to have, the force of change coming through from government, but it has to be taking into account the needs of individuals and the needs and views of the communities. What you don't want is a bureaucratic structure where government's making the decisions unilaterally and centrally, and the government has got to be worried about the fact, for example, that buildings are being demolished without owners being notified or getting consent from those owners. I simply don't believe that it's not possible to find out who owns the buildings in downtown Christchurch. It's a real worry when that sort of thing happens unilaterally. It's a worry when government backbenchers are making announcements about the sort of structures that might be put in place that the government itself hasn't announced. There's too much confusion around, and there's got to be a structure that both consults with people when the decision, before the decision is made, but then implements those decisions quite swiftly. We've given the government powers to do that under the emergency regulations, but they've got to exercise those powers wisely.
The government department, is that the right way to go?
Well, I don't know. I'd want to look at what the arguments are. You need a coordinating strategy to get various government departments supporting an organisation that has the responsibility for coordination. I haven't seen the government papers yet. We have asked for the advice papers to government. We want to work with the government on this in a cross-party way. But, you know, to give support for things, we have to be involved in the decisions. We're not about signing blank cheques at the end. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.